Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You and Monty
kind of been able to move. I haven't smoked in Monty.
Ever since the game. So, not even.
No. Hope
that changes
it.
I'm here. Are you happy to be here,
Pierre? Yeah, I'm alright. When I'm in between those lines, man, I just work. You know, I'm not playing for myself. You know, I have an organization across my chest, and a name on my back I have to represent. I'm just here to work.
If you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
Huh?
Well, if you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
I can show him better than I can tell him.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we could just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. He is Dave Dufour, analyst and producer for this one. He does it all. He's a two-way guy, just like DeAndre Ayton, the center for the Phoenix Suns. And we are going to start the show talking about him because we want to talk about two media days, or I guess you could even say day two practices, that are not like the other media days in which they are usually banal and talk about guys putting on muscle or being in the best shape of their life. Well, we had one team in Phoenix who had a guy publicly basically demand a trade and another guy who clearly seemed like he wants to get traded away, but he can't yet. And then we'll go to the Boston after that where I was there. And I think everybody knows how crazy that was. But let's start with Phoenix and let's start with DeAndre Ayton, who I don't think he wants to be in Phoenix based on the way he's talking.
What makes you say that, Jared?
Well, listen,
he was a restricted free agent. He signed an offer sheet, and by the way, it took a while.
A real while.
There was drama at the end of the season. There was drama in the playoffs. We saw him get benched. The Suns waited for him to go out and sign an offer sheet before, you know, they matched it, obviously, and brought him back. Not only does it bring him back, they can't, like you said, they can't trade him until January 15th. So he can't even really pout his way out of town until then. And he can't be traded to the team he signed the offer sheet with until next summer. So if he actually wanted to sign with Indiana and that's where he wants to be, which, by the way, super interesting fit with him and Halliburton, he can't even do that until next summer. So he does seem disgruntled, but at the same time, I did think that his point about, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm going to show up to work. And, you know, he was there and he answered questions. He just definitely didn't seem like he was carrying a lot of joy into this season.
Dave, he was asked, are you happy to be here in Phoenix? And he said, yeah, I might.
I might. Hey, listen,
I might.
Have you ever been to Phoenix?
Phoenix?
Hey, look, when you're in Phoenix, right now it's hot as hell in Phoenix. So if you're asking me if I was happy to be in Phoenix, I'm all right.
And credit to DeAndre Ayton, who cares so much about basketball that he would be willing to leave living in Phoenix and Scottsdale for Indiana. That is real dedication to ball there. I definitely appreciate that. But, I mean, it was, you heard the tape. Like, it's ugly. For him to say what he would want to say to Monty is, I can show him better than I can tell him. That's literally saying you don't want to talk to your coach and that you don't have a relationship with your coach.
Well, there's two sides to this coin, because I also know that that's sort of like a Monty Williams thing. Don't tell me, show me. I mean, most coaches, they'll preach that. Hey, you can tell me what you can do. Tell me what you can do, but I need you to show me. And so, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a DeAndre trying to show that he's actually motivated and he does want to prove, maybe not even Monty Williams wrong, because I don't think Monty has coached him in a way that makes him seem like he doesn't think he has the talent, right? It seems more like it's like Monty Williams has been trying to coax it out of him mentally. So maybe this is going to light a fire under DeAndre Ayton, and they find a little bit of common ground here on the, you know, in the basketball sense, and he just comes out, has a monster year, and keeps on trucking.
Well, here's the thing. Monty Williams is one of the most revered human beings in modern basketball. Like, the guy is just absolutely adored by the people around him. Not adored like they love him. Like, revered is the word, because they admire him and they look at him as this incredible mentor and shining light and just kind of beacon of hope that is able to find, like, help people connect with who they are and who they want to be. I mean, the way that people talk about Monty Williams is they talk about him like he is a father figure in a way that is very rarely talked about. And I hate using the term father figures. A lot of people find it respectful, but like, Monty Williams, people talk about him like he's a father figure. It's something to be proud of, really.
And that's great, but that approach doesn't necessarily work for every person, doesn't necessarily work for every player, and maybe DeAndre Ayton is a guy that doesn't connect with that, but it does seem like this was a performance-based sort of disagreement. I don't think there's anything personal. Yeah. So, I don't know. DeAndre Ayton's a professional basketball player. I think he's going to show up. I actually think he's going to have a great year. I think he's going to be really good, and Phoenix is going to need him to be good, because as you mentioned, Jay Crowder has asked for a trade. They decided he shouldn't show up to training camp. The vibes are kind of bad around that team, and I think if DeAndre Ayton comes out of the gate hot, it could be a nice little rallying point for them to sort of get behind. Hey, look at how last season ended for DeAndre Ayton. Look at how he started out this year. If we all can catch up to him, you know, and so it's the onus is a little bit on him to come out hot and prove everybody wrong. We've all been saying all summer, we just want to see him play with force, play with more force on both ends.
Yeah.
So if he comes out and does that, that's showing us, not telling us.
And I think the big thing here is that this relationship clearly looks bad right now, but it can get better. And I think the main reason why is that, like, everybody there, they don't think that Ayton sucks. They think he's extremely talented and he's not doing the work and he's not putting in the effort behind the scenes, at least for stuff that we've seen leaked and I think will probably be addressed if it hasn't already been. Like, the issue is an effort thing from him. They want to see more. And if he gives them more, then Monty's gotten exactly what he wants. And if they're winning, they're going to be happy. And it's like, the guy's already gotten his contract. So it's about winning and quality of career at that point. And so I think everything can come together. And I like that before the show starts, you're asking me, I refuse to believe that Monty Williams hasn't reached out to DeAndre Ayton. I could certainly believe DeAndre Ayton not picking up those calls or answering those texts. That I could definitely believe.
There you go. There you go. I would agree with that. But Phoenix, look, I'm lower on Phoenix for basketball reasons. I mean, again, Chris Paul aging, Jay Crowder not going to be there. I'm lower on them for that reason, but also the West got tougher. And I think that, I mean, we're looking at a Suns team, one full season removed from a finals run, and basically hasn't lost like any of its core pieces. And I'm going through the Western Conference and they look like a play-in team to me. I feel like they might be a play-in team. They won 64 games last year, but I'm worried enough about the vibes on this team that I could see them falling out of that 5-6 seed.
So you can see them falling like 20 wins from below the record.
It feels like a 45 to 48 win team for some reason. And again, it's the vibes are influencing my opinion on this. I'm pretty open about this on Nerder anyway, because I think vibes are important. But I don't know. This seems like a team. And by the way, making the playoffs and calling it, saying a team is collapsing, you know, it's funny. But there's not. Yeah, there's
collapsing.
Only six.
That's a
there's only six real playoff spots, and I think that there's seven or eight teams that are in the mix, and really the top four are a head and shoulders above, you know, the next four. And so I just think Phoenix being in that five, you know, battling for five and six, they could see themselves fall into that 7 or 8 spot, even though they have talent. And even though it's the same talent, you know, the differentiator might be the vibes for them.
I could see that. I mean, if your vibes aren't immaculate, it's really hard to make it work. And that's what they had going for them, right? But, I mean, I would be shocked if they fell that far. It really depends on what you think of Dallas with their mutually agreed upon six-man Christian Wood. We'll have to get to that one later in the show. And, I mean, we all assume Denver is going to take a leap. But I guess if Minnesota like really takes a leap here and New Orleans takes a leap here with Zion, yeah, I guess maybe they could fall that far. That seems insane, but it is certainly possible when you math it all out.
I went through the same process that you're going through out loud right now, Jared, and I promise you, this isn't something I haven't sat and thought about for a while because, you know, we're in preseason mode, and part of that is I need to think about, you know, what the hierarchy is going to look like from day one. I just don't believe in this team. I just don't believe them.
No, you're right. Looking at it now, you could see how if everybody else makes a big leap, they could go to 7 or 8 seed. It's possible. Or the Lakers could put them down to 9, but I don't think the Lakers will even get to 9. We'll see.
It's been hell for us, you know, just caught off surprise. Nobody really knows anything, so we're just in the wind just like everybody else. So these last couple of days, as far as this has been confusing.
And your reactions to Joe being named interim head coach and how you think your relationship with him during his time here?
Have a really good relationship with Joe. I think pretty much everybody on the team does. You know, Joe's been here through the hard times, through the good times. He knows and understands us as players. He's built relationships with us, so we love Joe. You know, we're excited to be able to work with him and, you know, in this opportunity that he has. So we're all new. He's new to this. We're new to him being in that position, so we're all going to learn together and go together.
Let's talk about the only team that seems to be going through a little bit more than what the Suns are going through, and that is the Boston Celtics, the team I cover for The Athletic. Why don't you ask me questions? Because like I've already talked about this so much, I don't even know what's unique to talk about now. So you ask me.
All right, it's not necessarily unique, but the truth is, man, like, again, I mean... Couple months removed from a finals run, and now they're going to have a change of coach. I mean, how much of a drop off is there going to be in chemistry and continuity with the loss of Ime? I know that like his voice in the locker room was extremely important last season. You know, he pulled those guys together, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he pulled those guys together when their big turnaround happened, and a lot of that was going at them, challenging them, Does their new coach, Joe Mazzulla, does he have the gravitas to be able to do that? Like, is he going to be able to pull these guys together when they have their heads up their butts?
Yeah, that's the hard part. Is I feel like Joe ticks off all the boxes from a basketball perspective, a general personality perspective, and demeanor perspective. I think he has that. The big thing with Ime was that Ime was able to really figure out how to be commanding. That worked really well. At the same time, Ime had to do all the hard work to completely reshape this team, and they already have a program in place. Mazzulla has been talking a lot about continuing to build upon what they already did and look at the team's identity as it's the player's identity rather than the coach's identity, even though we could certainly say that it was really Udoka imprinting his identity onto the team. But Mazzulla has everything set up for him that he basically just has to walk into it and not mess it up and do what he does well. And it should work out on paper. The problem is the way he's walking into the situation is such a mess. They like the guys had Udoka just taken away from them in the blink of an eye. They know that it's for some legitimate reason, but they aren't getting an official answer from the team on what exactly that is. So like there is this major angst, and I think they all certainly want to do it the right way. And at least with Joe, they already have a coach who has already proven himself to them to be a really good coach in his previous capacity. And he did a lot for the team. It wasn't like he just was like a player development guy with guards or something like that. Like he was doing everything. So he should be good for it. Utah almost hired him, but they took Will Hardy. He's got the resume. He's got all the talent. It's the context, I think, is the hardest part for him.
Do you expect them to bring in a veteran coach of some sort as sort of, you know, not exactly the Mike D'Antoni, Steve Nash situation, but just someone who's been there before and can help lead the way. I mean, Ime Udoka was just, he was an assistant for so long and decorated assistant. I mean, he coached with Greg Popovich. Do you feel like they might bring in a veteran coach? Maybe Frank Vogel, I know his name has been kind of thrown out there a little bit, as a defensive-minded coach, certainly could add to what they already have there. But do you expect that?
I kind of do at some point. I mean, what's tricky about this is they, like, Vogel's a name that I've heard a few places. I've heard people say things from it's done to maybe it'll happen. So I think it's really a maybe it will happen. I'm sure they've registered interest. It makes sense to bring in someone who at least has just gotten to the finals or won a championship in that case, has gotten there a few different times and just has dealt with, it's about how have you dealt with the superstar dynamic? Like, this team has some big superstars. It was very clear that there was that the leadership dynamic and how everybody revolved around those guys, that was a huge part of it. And the coaching staff needed to do a lot of management to get that stuff to work. And they also had to call upon guy like the non-top guys to help make that all mesh together. And so that's where you want that veteran experience. I don't think it's so much about like figuring out what's the right decision to make in this game, what game plan to choose. Obviously, scheme design isn't that big of a task for them at this point. They have a lot of work to do on offense, but not so much on defense. So I think you're just looking for a coach to help you manage those major situations. And I mean, they already have Brad Stevens. So, you know, I'm sure Brad Stevens played a role in helping Udoka. He's never been too transparent on what that is. But there's a difference between the GM providing advice when he's in the office versus a coach that's down there on the ground level that's seeing things every day. But if they're going to bring in someone like that, the hard part is how do you bring that person in without undercutting the authority of your interim coach?
You mentioned that it was your decision to come back last year in the playoffs, and obviously you were playing. It was still battling some stuff, and you had to rest and keep it together. Are you still solid in that decision, your decision to have come back? Are you worried at all that it might have set you back?
Nah, I'm solid for sure. I played in the finals, man. You know what I'm saying? You win some, you lose some, but I don't regret my decision at all. I was 24 years old. My dream was to play in the finals, dog. Can't regret this shit.
The other sort of thing that's looming over this team is the Robert Williams injury. And he was the reason that they were so successful last year. I mean, this is a legitimate Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He was a monster for them defensively. And actually, his passing was important for them on the offensive end and everything else that he does. Rebounding. How are they going to work around that? And are you worried that he is just going to kind of have a lost season? Because he's going to miss a lot of time. He's obviously has the knee surgery. Going to miss a lot of time. Will he have time to ramp up for a potential playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have that time at the very least. He's out for 2 to 3 months. Let's lean towards the 3 month side, but he'll be back at least halfway through the season. That gives him time. And hey, at least that gives him a chance to ramp up and then not be playing for so long that he breaks down and gets hurt again. I think that's the hope. So there's that. I mean, the question is, why is he out for longer? You know, initially it was reported as he just needed a cleanup. And when it's a cleanup after the surgery, you're thinking this is just a scar tissue cleanup. That was what I was made to believe. And then it turned out there were loose bodies. And it's like, why were there loose bodies if he had a meniscus repair? And so that makes you wonder, like, was there bone chipping and stuff like that? And, you know, so, and obviously if there's loose bone fragment, that's going to cut up and it's basically shrapnel in there. It's going to cause more scar tissue. So I guess the question is, with this all being cleaned out, is he going to actually have a full recovery and actually be good to go? I think for them, bottom line is they need Rob Williams to be healthy from game 41 on and stay completely 100% healthy until game 110 or whatever the hell it is at that point, and when they're trying to win the finals. That's what they're looking for. They haven't had Rob Williams play in the playoffs in like forever. He keeps getting hurt for the playoffs. It never happens. He played last year, but not a ton, and he wasn't really fully healthy until like the finals was the only time he actually looked really good. So if this team has him fully healthy, then they are on paper the best team in the NBA probably at that point, or at least like right there next to it. I think the biggest question, though, is his game going to improve? Because like he was already really good last year, but he needed to improve in a few ways, especially offensively, if they were going to win the title. And so it's hard to imagine his game continuing to evolve if he's not really if he's not out there healthy consistently.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And wanted to point out, he was asked about playing on the injured knee in the finals. What did you think about his response? I mean, I'll go first. You know, I'm a basketball coach. I love the game of basketball. You could see that it was pretty obvious that it meant a lot to him to play in the finals last year, even though he was injured. And I thought his answer was honestly refreshing. He made a business decision, but it was a personal decision, if that makes sense. Like, he personally wanted to play in the finals, injured or not, and I have to respect that.
And, I mean, the big thing for him, I mean, I guess he couldn't have known this when he made the decision, is it's not like what happened to him is what happened to Clay. Like, he's just out for a couple months with a knee cleanup. He's not having a re-repair of the meniscus or of a ligament. And also, he was putting, I mean, the thing that was injured was a meniscus. It wasn't a ligament. So if you have to do that again, you have to do that again. But obviously, I'm sure he was exposing himself to ligament injury. And also, he was told, or at least mentioned at some point, that like he was told he couldn't make the injury worse. I guess that was technically true in this case. He didn't re-tear the meniscus, but clearly the fallout was bad if the surgery is going to keep him out twice as long now as he was when he originally had the surgery. So there was all that. But at the end of the day, he said it's the finals, homie. Like, it's one thing to come back for a playoff run. This was he was trying to play in the finals on a team that was like clearly the best team in the conference when they were fully healthy. And Chris Middleton was hurt. So that, like, he made the right call. They got really far, and he almost won the title. And if he could have messed up his career a little bit, but he got that ring, that would have been worth it. And credit to him that the dude was only 24. Like, he made the point that he's only 24. Like, it's not like he was, like, 33, and he's like, I got to play in the finals. This is it for me. Like, he's like, this is my chance to get a chip. It makes it all worth it. He's got his contract. It's not a huge one, but it is a lot of money still. And so I think he's thinking, like, I've at least already secured my contract. This is my best chance to win a title. I got to go for it. So, Rob Williams is out, and we're out. We'll be back in 2 to 3 days, probably sooner than that. Rob Williams will be back in 2 to 3 months. He's Dave Dufour, Jared Weiss. This is the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.